Going on, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the MSU Sports Zone podcast. Today, I have a good friend of mine, Byron Hazleton. Byron, what's going on?
Hey, Spencer, how you doing? Happy to be on the podcast.
And for those that don't know, Byron hosts a podcast as well, and he's a Michigan State fan. So, if you want to get some background to the fans, Byron.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I'm half of the Front Porch Tailgate podcast. Spencer's actually been on our podcast talking a little MSU sports. We do national sports, but big time, lifetime Michigan State fan, always tuned in on Saturdays and weekdays for basketball, baseball. I'm all over the map with MSU tuning in and happy to have linked up with such a guy like Spencer Dial. So
thank you for the compliment, but let's get right into it. So first things, Rocky Lombardi. Not a very good performance of Rocky. I was trying to look up what his QBR was yesterday, but it wouldn't say. But, I mean, these stats are mind-blowing. So, Rocky threw 3 interceptions, and he also had 5 rushes for negative 21 yards. So, what's your assessment of Rocky's performance yesterday, Byron?
Piss poor. I don't know if he ever left East Lansing mentally. I mean, he's supposed to be coming home. That's his home state of Iowa, and the guy lays a complete egg. Just very disappointing coming off a very strong performance last week.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think he's left Ann Arbor, but oh, man. But the thing I've been noticing with Rocky is I've been saying this to a few people. He kind of reminds me of Baker Mayfield in a way where if the play's wide open and you see against Michigan the deep ball, he's dead on the money with the throw. But then when it's not open or, you know, he has to make something out of the play, you see, it always seems like it ends in a bad result. You know, if he's standing in the pocket for more than just 3 seconds, you see yesterday with the pick six. I don't know what it is. But another thing I want to hear your opinion on this is, you know, they basically got their ass kicked the whole game. And you didn't see any change at quarterback late in the game. I would have liked to see the backups get a chance. What's your whole thing on that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I was thinking probably midway through the third quarter when Iowa came right back and scored on us. And then we did, I think, a 3-and-out or somehow we ended up punting the ball. We got to go to a different guy at that point. Like, you're down 42-7. Get someone else in there. Get them some reps because, obviously, even if you don't want to say Rocky's not getting it done, he wasn't getting it done that day. So get someone else in there.
Yeah, and that's the only point is I see a lot of people on Twitter were saying that. And, you know, there's a few, I guess you can say, analysts like, well, who do you want in there? And I'm just thinking, there's no way they can do much worse than that performance. And hopefully it's not a trend continuing because, you know, he did awesome in the Michigan game. I don't think anyone can deny that. But this Rutgers performance from not just him but the whole offense and then yesterday, and like me and you talked about, the schedule's not getting easier moving forward. So – I mean, I don't know. You know, I'm not saying put another QB in, but he could – do you think he can find himself losing a job, maybe another, I guess you'd say, stinking up the joint next week against Indiana?
So, I know you kind of touched on Rocky a little bit, and one thing that I've noticed about Rocky is that he doesn't always play within himself, right? So in certain situations, like they got down quick, 14-0 yesterday, and then this guy just started to go for the home run. Exactly. So if he doesn't continue to play within himself, he's going to get yanked, man, because we can't have a guy that's constantly looking for the home run. Like, play for another day.
And that's what's funny to me is, like, I really have questioned Jay Johnson's play calling. You know, I think a lot of people didn't really care because of last week's performance, but it seems I looked at our wide receivers. You know, Naylor had 120 yards yesterday. Nobody would have known that. And Jaden Reed's been playing. He played bad last week too. He only had 1 catch for 7 yards. I think he had 1 for like 11 last week, but I don't understand that either. Is we're not throwing to our tight ends at all, it seems. No. When they get a good completion, like you said, it's like 50 yards downfield. And like I mentioned, though, is that's where Rocky knows in his head, like, I'm going there. But if that play's not open, it just seems like it's no matter what, it's never a good end of the play, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, absolutely. It seems like that's the foundation of the offense, at least from Rocky's perspective, is I'm going for the home run every time. I feel like my receivers are better than yours, so I'm just going to throw it up. But you can't do that. And you saw Iowa dominated the line of scrimmage yesterday, so he didn't even have time. He's back there running for his life.
And that's jumping into the next point is our run game. I mean, our run game was non-existent, guys. So I looked at the stats. We had 59 total rushing yards from six different running backs. And like I mentioned, our seventh running back was Rocky Lombardi going five rushes for negative 21 yards. And I looked at Iowa. They had 226 rushing yards. So, you know, this has been – I haven't seen anyone talk about this, but what happened to our run game over the last – I mean, it was dominant the years we were winning playoffs and all this. Now it seems like we don't have one.
Yeah, I mean, this kind of goes back to a very young offensive line. You know, the team just – I don't know, man. It seemed like two different teams from last week to this week when you look at them in the trenches. And I don't know if you could say Michigan's that bad, but after three games, seeing the different results, maybe Michigan is that bad, and it was just the result of two bad teams playing against each other.
Yeah, I just – the thing that – blows my mind is they might be bad, but their D-line is still really good. And we rushed for decently on them, but you're going to tell me like Rutgers defensive line and Iowa's is that much better than our O-line? Because I know, like you said, it's a young O-line. I don't think it's necessarily young. I just think it's so inexperienced. Because with D'Antonio, he didn't give a lot of these guys, the younger guys, a chance, really. Not even younger guys, but, you know, it seemed like it was always hurt or I don't even know. It just seemed like he never would pull the guys. But, you know, that's what I was saying going forward. And you mentioned the home run ball. I mentioned in the preview of the Iowa game, you know, if teams are going to study that film and if they saw how successful we were against Michigan. You know, when we play next week, for example, a good Indiana team or Ohio State, we're going to take away that long ball. And if it's not there, man, I'm scared of what's going to happen to the offense. You know, what's your opinion on the whole offense as a whole moving forward?
I mean, they have to be able to sustain drives. I don't know if I've seen them put together more than one or two drives the entire year. Yeah. If you take out where they've gotten like a 40, 50 yard big play, I haven't seen much of them driving the field, a 9, 10, 11, 12 play drive. And they're, any good football team is able to do that.
Yeah, and I guess to back off, piggyback off the running game, what amuses me too is the O-line seems to block pretty good for pass protection. But when it comes to run protection, I mean, you might as well not put them out there. That's how it's looked to me. Has it been the same for you?
I mean, they've shown flashes at times. Like, I think it kind of – depends on the running back, too. These guys are shuffling in running backs here and there. I see guys missing holes that are there. I see guys like Elijah Collins. I don't know what happened. I think he might be hurt, man, because he just looks slow. He looks slow.
And that's what I don't get either is you guys can tell already. If you watch Tucker's press conference or anything, you're not getting anything out of there. Meaning, like, another player I saw mentioned was hurt was – Antoine Simmons, and no one heard a bleep out of that. Then you heard Rocky was hurt, you know, wearing a brace or something. But, let's talk about Elijah Collins. So, I don't know what's going on there at all. I mean, Jordan Simmons has showed flashes, but that whole Connor Hayward situation, I still can't wrap my head around what's happened there with him. And Collins, I mean, I'll let you talk, answer in a second. But, guys, I mean, you got to think about Collins beat this guy out last year and Hayward transferred because of him. I know Hayward's played well this year, but I mean, the guy came in a month before the year, transferred back basically because essentially no other program wanted him. And now it seems like Collins is getting a worse treatment than him. So, I mean, I guess we can talk about the running. I mean, what's your whole thing on the whole running back situation?
Well, I mean, if I'm going to be honest, the freshman Jordan Simmons has looked the best this year, bar none. When I look at Connor Hayward, to me, he's a third down back specialist. You know, he's got great hands out of the backfield. But if you need him to pick up short yardage, he's not going to do it. You need him to pick up 2 yards, he'll pick up one or lose yardage, you know.
Yeah.
Elijah Collins, I don't know if he's struggling with the playbook, if he's hurt, but the guy looks slow and he looks like he's thinking out there. Like, I'm just at a loss, you know. And then you look at our seasonal rushing stats, our per carry average leader is Jalen Naylor, a wide receiver who's getting the ball on jet sweeps. Everyone else is 3 yards or less.
But, and that's the thing is, I know, you know, COVID screwed the whole offseason up. I understand that, guys. So I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, like they have so much time. But if you looked at the tape from last year, like that's the one thing, if you're Chris Kapilovich and Tucker, you should have put the most emphasis on is fixing the run game, because I don't see us winning another game if we can't run the ball. And I don't think that's a crazy take. Is that to you?
You got to have some kind of balance. I mean, just the threat of running the ball.
Yeah, the threat has not been there whatsoever. But, you know, this is another subject I told you about. And, you know, you mentioned Collins. It's, you know, Tucker, I watched the whole press conference yesterday, guys. He was pretty pissed. His voice was basically gone. But mainly what I got out of it is he basically said to the reporters, you know, if guys are performing well in practice, regardless if you're the 120th man on the team or the best player, for those that aren't going as hard, just aren't performing the best in practice, you're not going to play. And that, I guess that goes to the point where people keep asking, you know, where's Julian Barnett out there? Where's Elijah Collins? You know, I don't know what else. I guess the O-line or something. But do you like that mindset to have, or are you of the belief that that can only last for so long, saying that stuff?
Yeah, you know, we were talking a little bit before we started here, and I think, you know, one, Tucker's a disciple of Saban. Those guys are all about reps, repetition, and execution, right? And they feel like you practice how you play. If you don't practice well, you're not going to play well. But some people, flat out, they're gamers. So you got to get them in there, see what they do in the game, especially a guy like a Julian Barnett. You know, we got to see the effort. We got to see him do what he does in practice. But shoot, give the guy an opportunity in the game and see what he can do.
Yeah, and another name I forgot to mention, this is a name that I think people are forgetting about, is what's up with Devontae Dobbs? Another, you know, high four-star at least. Him, Barnett, Collins, it seems like those are the three players. I mean, they're not even seeing the field, you know. What's your whole opinion on Dobbs? I mean,
at this point, I don't know. This guy's not even dressing. He's not even getting dressed on game day. Last year, he was getting some starts, and I get it. We didn't have a very good O-line. That was nothing to write home about, those reps that he got. But he was getting at least dressed for the game as a true freshman. You know, redshirt freshman year, I don't know if he went back and just chilled during COVID. But, hey, man, we got to get him on the field, at least see what the man can do at this point if other people aren't getting it done.
Yeah, and I read another stat that only 75 of our 120 players are dressing. Maybe it's because of COVID, but that's pretty crazy to me as well.
Well, that's a Big Ten restriction. When you travel, only 75 can dress.
Okay.
Now, home games, you can have more, but when you travel, it's a limit of 75.
Okay, there we go. I did not know that. And what you basically said to me in text, the next point that you wanted to talk about, the defense. Someone sent me a long DM yesterday about the defense, just basically telling me that the 4-2-5 defense will not work. And he was telling me in detail why he believed that. So I didn't really know what the 4-2-5 was, you know. And then people were mentioning, like, that's the Big 12 kind of defense. And then when I heard that, I was starting to worry. But this defense is really starting to worry me, Byron, because I feel like they had success. When you look at Michigan, it's successful when – you know, the wide receivers aren't threats to go like the home run ball. But when you get wide receivers on the outside, like some of these better teams have, it seems like Michigan State's really starting to struggle. So what's your whole take on the defense as a whole?
So one, I think they're just getting into the playbook. I think they're still trying to learn and get the pieces that they need for the switch to the 4-2-5. Because the 4-2-5, in order for it to be successful, you have to win in the trenches. And they got pushed around against Rutgers. Let's be honest. They got pushed around up front. They got absolutely dominated yesterday by Iowa. And that's why you saw all those gaping holes in the secondary. I mean, you already are down a backer because you only start with two. And so our guys are getting pushed around. They're going for, what did they average yesterday? 7-8 yards a carry?
Oh, it was ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, so that's just, it's very dependent on the guys up front winning. If they don't win, we're not going to win.
Okay, so see, I'm still learning exactly how the defense is going to operate. And what you're saying does make sense, because if you look at Michigan, you know, we basically won the trenches. We got to Milton a lot, but they didn't run the ball for shit on us. So your opinion on it is, if you don't win the trenches, it's going to be a long day for the defense.
Absolutely, because the 4-2 – you see, we don't have very big linebackers. Like, Antoine Simmons, he's good, but he's not that big.
Yeah, no.
And he's got to be able to run freely, because in the 4-2-5, you bring pressure from all over the place. That's one of the best parts of it, is that you can bring pressure. They never know where it's coming from.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, the last thing I wanted to go into was the turnovers. So I haven't looked. I'm just assuming that, you know, through three games, Michigan State has 10 turnovers. I would argue that's probably the most in the Big Ten, if not up there. Are the turnovers worrisome for you moving forward into the year? Or is it a team that just doesn't look like they got enough practice, in your opinion?
They're not really worrisome. I think what's more concerning for me is that they're not generating turnovers.
Yeah.
So they're not turning the ball over. Like, okay, offenses turn it over. Like, that's known. I mean, the 7-1, the 7-game turnover situation, you know, let's throw that out the window. The last two games, I'm good with those. You know, turnovers happen. Rocky had a bad game. You've seen guys turn the ball over 3-2 times a game. But your defense has to turn the ball over themselves. Otherwise, it's never going to work out.
The only turnover I can recall the defense has had was Shakir Brown's pick in the first game. Am I missing any?
Well, their turnover ratio is -4. So they've had, what, at least 10 turnovers?
Yeah.
So they must have, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know about, I meant our defense. So you're saying it's been more, okay.
Yeah, they had to have had more. I mean, let me take a look at the stats. I mean, we can keep moving, but.
Yeah, that's an interesting stat right there. But I guess to finish it off and talk about the last thing, I guess the schedule. So, I mean, last week I remember texting you and you were telling me, you know, just relax. Like, you know, when I was saying if they play as bad as they did against Rutgers, they can go winless. And I told you, man. So a lot of people, not just you though, one of my buddies at State, he was saying 4-4, like basically yelling at me and stuff. So, like you mentioned to me, and I told a lot of people, the schedule's not easy moving forward at all. So after yesterday's performance, you know, what's your take on the whole schedule?
I mean, you said it earlier. It's not getting any easier. You got a tough Indiana team coming. You got Maryland, who looks much improved. Northwestern hasn't given up a point in the second half this year. Then you got Ohio State. Everyone knows about them. And then you finish the year with Penn State. They may be looking at one more win because Penn State's struggling this year. That's the one I've got circled. Maybe Northwestern, we can pull something off because that's a home game. But who knows at this point?
Yes. Well, piggyback off your point, Byron, the schedule. You know, if you're banking on Penn State being the only win, that's no room for – I don't even know what the word uses, but they've been awful this year, 0-3. Maryland went in there and blew the doors off them guys, so we still have to play. And then you got a red-hot Indiana team coming off a huge win against Michigan. And then to finish it, like you said, Northwestern, who hasn't given up a point in the second half. I think they have Indiana's transfer QB, Peyton Ramsey, starting there. And, of course, Ohio State. So it's going to be a rough stretch to end the year. Like you said, a game. I'm hoping. I think the ceiling is going to be 3-5. And then, you know, at worst, I'm hoping 2-6. You know, 1-7 with the win over Michigan. That would be something. But basically, the schedule is not doing Michigan State any favors. So it's going to be a tough road ahead for the Spartans end the year. Any last thoughts from you, Byron?
No, I mean, hopefully yesterday was a blip on the radar. Maybe they just got fat cat syndrome. We're still thinking about that Michigan win. I'm banking on that. But, Lord, I hope they come to play against Indiana, because if not, it's going to be another sad Saturday.
Oh, God, yeah. And yeah, I mean, if you guys – I don't know how great Indiana's wideouts are, but they've basically torched every defense they've played this year, Penn State, Michigan, and Rutgers. So Michigan State's got to – Scotty Hazleton, he's got to come up with a dime on the defensive game plan. If not, you can be seeing another 40 to 50 ball being dropped on this defense.
Yeah, and don't forget they've got two of the top corners in the Big Ten.
Yeah, it's a great Indiana. Well, you know, Tom Allen has them rolling this year, so it's going to be a tough one. At least we're back home. I guess we can, if you want, or no, I'll do that later in the week about score predictions. But, yeah, I mean, that's basically all I got. Yeah, any last points to add?
No, man, just thanks for having me on. Appreciate it. Hope to be back soon.
Absolutely, man. I'll get this edited and posted later, and the fans can listen to it. So thank you for joining me, Byron.